And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Darryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. So, Candace.
Yes?
Have you seen the Obama portraits?
I have.
What'd you think?
When I first saw them, I said to myself, whoa, they're trying to do something different, right?
Like, yeah.
This is not your mama's presidential portrait.
Right.
They were, first of all, they were beautiful. I was a little emotional because I thought, this is for us. Mm. What did you think about them?
I thought they were really, really dope. And I agree. I felt like this is for us, you know?
Yeah.
I think Obama's portrait in particular being super bright and vibrant and just showing him chilling on that chair, you know, it was definitely a reminder that this is a different president for obvious reasons, but this is a different president and a different presidency altogether.
For so many reasons, yeah.
So I'm talking to WBUR's Assistant Director of City Space, Candace Springer, about the Obama portraits because they're coming to Boston, right?
Exactly, Darryl. And this is the first of two recommendations I've got for y'all today. The Obama portraits are coming to the Museum of Fine Arts on September 3rd, my birthday.
Let's go.
This is part of a 7-stop tour. It was originally 5, a 7-stop tour that the portraits have been making all over the country. And it's kind of exciting that we get to have them as the last stop.
Okay, so other than that, let's say I'm not typically interested in portraits of presidents. You know, that sounds pretty dry on its own. Why exactly should I go see this exhibit? What's so cool about it?
Well, you know, I think the Obama portraits present a lot of firsts. And so for me, the big thing that I'm excited about is these two portraits were the first portraits commissioned by African-American artists. Mm-hmm. So that is like really historic. And I mean, as an African-American woman, I mean, I just have to check them out. The artists are Kehinde Wiley and Amy Sherald, and they have definitely sort of upended the traditional look and feel of presidential portraits. I mean, Kehinde Wiley, if you've ever seen his work, he definitely has a way of just presenting Black people in all of their glory and their regalness.
Yes.
They're just beautiful, vibrant portraits to behold. Usually, you know, a subject is surrounded by bold colors, you know, sort of like Rococo design. Mm-hmm. Black people pop in those portraits. It's amazing.
Agreed.
And then Amy Sherald, who did Michelle Obama's portrait, Kehinde Wiley was, of course, Barack Obama's portrait. Amy Sherald, I think all of her portraits of women really sort of just show us who we are as women. Most of the women are sort of presented as having gray skin. You'll see Michelle Obama's portrait. She's got more of a gray skin tone. It's not really like a look-alike image. It's definitely more of a work of art. And just sort of like having us sort of look at these women and see them as true, real people. I think that was the goal of both of these portraits, honestly, is to sort of take out some of that pomp and circumstance, you know, that you traditionally see in presidential portraits and really present these two people as they are.
Yeah, I saw them in D.C. myself, and I did find them to be really, really fresh and relatable, you know, compared to all the other portraits that were in the gallery. And these portraits aren't the only piece of this exhibit, right? I hear there's also a community art aspect to it.
Yeah, that's what's so wonderful about this. The MFA has actually decided to tack on an exhibit as part of this called Portraits of Leadership. Mm-hmm. So they've asked thousands of people to submit their own portraits of leadership and put them on display alongside the Obama portraits. And these submissions span, you know, drawings, watercolor, collage, photography, and they're from all ages, right? They're family members, they're mentors, they're kids. And so it's really, I think that helps with this sort of theme of like presenting people the way that we view them. It's sort of just basically, you know, asking us all to think about what a leader looks like.
Right.
What does being a leader mean to you?
Got it. Understood. So that all sounds pretty dope. What's your next suggestion?
All right. If anybody knows me, they know I love musicals.
Mm-hmm.
I am a Broadway fanatic. So last week I got the pleasure of seeing a new musical at the Calderwood Pavilion in the South End that is hosted by the Huntington Theater called Sing Street. This is your life. So that was Drive It Like You Stole It, my favorite song in the show from the 2020 Broadway cast recording of Sing Street. You have to go see this show. It is absolutely amazing. Do you know anything about Sing Street?
I do. I saw the movie that the play is based on, and I cannot say I'm a fan. I found it to be kind of underwhelming.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. So hold on. Stick a pin in that for a second. We need to talk about this because you just stuck a dagger in my side. I'm going to let you know that.
I'm sorry to do that to you, Candace. I'm so sorry.
That really hurts. That really, really hurts. But Sing Street is about this kid named Connor Lawler, who's growing up in the 1980s in Dublin. He's a little down on his luck. His family is going through hard times. Dad's out of work. Brother's depressed. And he has to go to a new school because they can't afford to send him to his private school. It's a Catholic school. The principal slash, you know, brother who runs the school is a jerk. He's getting bullied. But he sees this beautiful woman on the street named Rufina, and everything changes for him. And he decides he's going to start his own band to impress her. What did you like about that, Daryl?
You know, I just didn't really find this whole thing of, you know, there was so much struggle and the healing power of music and all this stuff. I was just kind of like, you know, I will just watch The Get Down for that. You know what I'm saying? It just didn't hit me. The music was great. I loved the music, and some there was some funny moments in it. But yeah, I just didn't really connect with, you know, the story at all. It didn't seem like the stakes were that high.
Hmm. Well, first of all, love The Get Down. Definitely recommend that too. But what if I told you that I think the stage version, the musical version of Sing Street, may change your mind a little bit? It presents this story in, I think, a way that will pull on your heartstrings a little bit more than the movie did. And the reason why is, first of all, it's live. You get to actually see and experience this incredibly talented cast play these instruments live, sing their hearts out. The story is pretty much the same, but I think one of the things that they do is really sort of drill into two things. One, the love between Connor and his brother. I think that's a little bit less poignant in the film. The stage version starts out with sort of a home video of those two as kids, really bonding with each other, and opens up into this moment where you can tell that his brother is clearly depressed and down on his luck. You just feel it a little bit more. And I think it's because these actors are in front of you, right? Sometimes a film doesn't necessarily pop out in that way. And that's what I love about the beauty of musicals, is because those actors are in front of you, because it's all live and in the moment, anything feels like it can happen. It feels like you're way more immersed in the story. And also, you did say you liked the music. The music is popping.
The music was very good. And I will say I did enjoy the older brother. I enjoyed his character, even though, you know, like I said, I was just like, dude, relax. You're 21. But, you know,
like, you know, so there's a scene in the stage version where the version is directed by Rebecca Taichman, who is a wonderful director. And it's also choreographed by Sonia Taye, who I'm a little obsessed with because I used to watch So You Think You Can Dance, and she was one of the resident choreographers on that show. And they do this beautiful lyrical piece with just the brother, who I think his name is Brandon, who he's just so depressed, smoking pot on the couch, dancing contemporary lyrical moves. And it's just this kind of scene transition. But you just like, I think for you, Daryl, you'll be screaming at him, like, why can't you get off the couch? And for me, I was like, it's so hard for him to get off the couch.
Well, you know what, Candace? I don't know. Maybe I got to give it a chance. You're selling it. You're selling it hard. And I'm liking what you're saying. So, yeah, maybe I'll give it a shot.
You know, if you go, you're going to be immersed in an audience that was absolutely lit. There is such an excitement for this musical because it almost didn't happen. It was supposed to open in March of 2020, and it got shut down because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long journey for this show to get back to any theater. And when it was supposed to open, it was supposed to open on Broadway. So now it's at the Calderwood, being hosted by the Huntington Theater, with the hope that it can make it back to New York. So if there's nothing else that entices you, please go support this local theater. I mean, they're working so hard. They're putting on an incredible show. It's blood, sweat, and tears. And like, it would just be really nice for this to make it back to Broadway so everybody could see it.
Yeah, that's dope. You know, getting a little piece of Broadway in Boston. That's awesome.
I know, right?
Okay, so you might have convinced me there. That aside, you're the assistant director of City Space, our event venue mm-hmm. here at WBUR. What do you got coming up for this month? What should people check out?
So there's too much to talk about because, you know, September ushers in the fall season for us at City Space. And we have gone full tilt all out to like bring you big names and epic performances and really thoughtful discussions. But if I had to highlight one, I'm really looking forward to The Makers mm-hmm. on September 22nd.
Okay.
This is our celebration of artists of color who are shaping the cultural landscape in Boston, and they're selected by WBUR's Arts and Culture team. I know who some of these people are. They have not been announced yet, but I am telling you, you do not want to miss this. We're doing poetry. We're doing maybe a drag show, maybe even some pole dancing.
Okay. Okay.
And also, tickets are free, so
let's go.
Let's go.
Candace, thanks so much for these lovely recommendations. We're going to take a break, but stick around because I have one more thing to ask you.
All right.
Now, my feelings about the film Sing Street aside, the music was pretty great. In addition to the original songs in the movie, the soundtrack also features a lot of music from the 80s, which really plays into the nostalgia of the story. Now, Candace, if someone were to make a musical movie about your teenage years, what artists would be featured in the soundtrack?
Oh my God. I mean, we are really going to peel back the curtain on my weird, you know, sort of musical nerdy life.
Hit it. Let's do it.
Okay, so absolutely at the top, we got to have some Backstreet Boys in there. I mean, I grew up in the 90s at the height of the boy bands. And let me tell you, that Backstreet Boys Millennium album mm-hmm. was everything to me. Mm-hmm. But also, I just listened to some weird stuff. So we got to throw the Fugees in there. I remember that was one of the first albums that like my parents bought me that I listened to track for track. And it was just like blew me away. And Lauryn Hill, come on now. Yeah. I mean, that voice, she just gives you goosebumps. And then also, I think I gotta throw, this is the weird one, I gotta throw some Celine Dion in there. I was obsessed. Because You Loved Me, man, that's a ballad. Does anybody even sing ballads anymore?
Yo,
man.
That's a great question. That's a great question.
Miss the ballads. Really miss the ballads.
Agreed. Agreed. Well, Candace, that all sounds pretty dope. I would definitely watch that musical for sure. That's WBUR's Assistant Director of City Space, Candace Springer. And that's all for today. This episode was produced by Franny Monahan with sound design from Matt Reed. It was edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you soon. By the way, every day you hear us tackle news in Boston on Consider This. Well, another one of WBUR's programs uses a wider lens. On Point, hosted by Meghna Chakrabarty, sets out to make sense of the world together. From the economy and healthcare to politics and the environment, and much more. On Point talks with newsmakers and real people about the issues that matter most. Get the On Point podcast wherever you listen. Just search On Point and hit subscribe.